December the 2nd, four games, another Dyson Daniels masterclass. Well, I'm going to call it a masterclass. A very good game from Dyson Daniels. Not much to talk about, but we'll find stuff. This is the Tuesday. It's not Tuesday. It's Tuesday here. This is the Monday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Got something loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter at AdamKing91 or on Blue Sky at AdamKing91. We are on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please go and find us over there. Even if you're watching on Twitter, go and find us somewhere and subscribe and download and do all that stuff. I've said we really appreciate it. We are also part of the Old Man Squad. Go and follow them at Old Man Squad or at Dan Besperus. They're on X, Twitter, and on Blue Sky. Only four games to go through today, so should be a fairly quick one. Let's bring up the first of the four games. And look, honestly, yes, we had four games, but none of them were real. I guess the Atlanta game was somewhat close. You know what? Let's start with the Atlanta game, just because it was the closest. The other three were blowouts. So let's start with the Pels. And the Hawks, close for what. Hawks did pull away just towards the end, ended up winning 124-112 for the Pelicans. They looked better, still didn't look great. Hawks, honestly, didn't look great either. So the Pels were lucky they were playing the Hawks, who just missed some open looks. Otherwise, this may have been a blowout for the Pelicans. Herb Jones was doubtful, so he didn't play as expected, but I would expect him to potentially play in their next game. Trey Murphy did play, which is a good sign. 14 points, 2 steals, a block, 5 assists. Not his best game, but the fact he played is encouraging. Eve Missy continues to play pretty well. 23-12 with a steal and a block. He's must roster at the moment. They're really just leaning into him as this starting center. When Zion returns, that is going to cut into Misi, as would the return of Brandon Ingram. Who knows what's going on with him? So this is probably sell high. If you've got Misi and you think you can move him, I would consider it. But he should be locked in as that starting center because their other options are not very good. DeJounte playing against his former team. He had 5 steals and a block, so that's good. He had 10 assists. That's good. He had 7 points on 2 of 15 shooting, so certainly not the offensive night he was looking for. CJ, on the other hand, had 29 points on 12 of 26 shooting with 6 rebounds. So a good game from CJ. And Brandon Boston continues to just somehow find a way to value. He had 19 points with a steal and 4 rebounds in 25 minutes. Once they get all their guys back, he will pretty clearly be a drop. But for now, you just hold him a little bit like a Santi Aldama, not to the same level as Aldama, but he just keeps finding a way to value. And yes, Chad was watching as well. The Hawks, there was a period there in the third quarter, I think, where they just couldn't hit a shot. And if they were playing anyone half decent, they would have lost this. So they're lucky they were playing the Pelicans. For the Hawks, do I want to start with Dyson? No, I won't start with Dyson. I'll start with the centers. Clint Capela played 29 minutes. Okongwu played 19. So this was a Capela game. They're sort of going back and forwards. It's still Capela for me over Okongwu fairly comfortably. Capela had 9 points but 17 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. Okongwu had 12 points with 4 rebounds and 1 steal. So we are rolling with Capela. Reece Shea, he's very borderline. 24 minutes isn't really enough. He had 13 points, but not much else. A steal and a block makes it look okay. Jalen Johnson, another strong night for him. Trae Young continues to look very passive offensively. 5 of 16 from the field. Look, his shots aren't falling, to be fair, but we were always of the opinion that he would just keep shooting until they start falling, and that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. I don't know whether there's a mental thing going on here, but he seems to be encouraged to shoot the ball, which was never something we saw from Trae. So he had 12 points, 15 assists, 8 rebounds, a steal. So the assist numbers have been very good. Points, not so much. So I don't know what's going on there. And Dyson Daniels, he's in the heading, in the title of the show. And anyone knows if I get any opportunity to talk about Dyson Daniels, I'm going to. 19 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, 1 block, perfect from the line. Good night against his former team. And he continues to roll along very nicely. Jalen and Dyson, both top 25. Yeah, they could be. Let's have a look. Nine category leagues. I don't want today. I want the full season. Here we go. Okay. So Dyson Daniels is the 25th ranked player. I'm assuming that includes today's game. And Jalen Johnson is the 18th ranked player. So yes, both inside the top 25, which we love to see. What have we got? We've got a Giddy. We talked about them. What is Misi's ceiling at this point, rest of season? Top 75, top 50. He's potentially at his ceiling now in terms of production. But that's assuming they don't move Ingram and he comes back and Zion comes back. I mean, there could be more injuries over the horizon. We don't know what's going to happen. What is his ceiling? Well, let's have a look. Let's have a look at what he is now. Hang on. Eve Misi. Yeah, come on. Anytime you want to bring him up. Why can't I find him? Here we go. Here we go. Okay, Eve Misi, because this last couple of weeks has been pretty clearly the best stretch of the season for him. So over the last week, he is top 140, averaging 15 and 9 with 2 blocks. Good example of not really paying attention to rank purely here, because those numbers are very good. He's just very bad from the free throw line and doesn't give you any threes at all, and very little in the way of assists. So if you're punting those categories, he's certainly a lot better. I would say this is probably his ceiling. I think he's probably closer to 11 points, 9 rebounds, 1.5 blocks, which would probably put him top 100-ish, if you punt those categories. So, yes, in terms of top 75, top 50, look, if you lean into a lot of my teams, for example, if I was to pull up, let's go player ranks over the last, I don't know, we'll go 2 weeks. And if I was to punt threes and I was to punt assists and I was to punt free throws, which I am in a lot of my leagues, Misi is the 31st ranked player. So, yeah, advantages of punting. Last 2 weeks, 13 and 10 with 1.5 blocks. That's probably not out of the realm of possibilities. So, yeah, maybe in a specific build, he could be a top 50 player. Generally speaking, I think he's more like top 80 to top 100, because they will get, we're assuming, Ingram and Zion back. In the next game, Miami and Boston. And Miami are just, man, I don't know. I mean, I don't like watching Miami at the best of times, but they have just looked pretty rough. 108 to 89. Boston get the win despite being down a few players. There was no Jimmy Butler for Miami. No surprise there. So we had Jaime Jaquez moving into the starting lineup. He had 19 and 10 with 3 steals. If you streamed him in, well done. Highsmith, if you streamed him in, not so well done because you probably were looking for defensive stats. He had 1 block, 0 steals. Bam continues to just struggle offensively. 15 points on 6 of 18 shooting. Didn't really add a lot here. Tyler Hero, 19 points, 6 of 19. It just wasn't a good game all around. Rozier, he stunk off the bench, 4 points. I'd probably still be holding him, but it could trend to be a drop here at some point for Rozier. He just doesn't look like the player he once was. And, yeah, honestly, I'm not really taking too much out of this box score for Miami, given the scoreline. And for Boston, they were without, it was a few players. Who were they without? Porzingis, Drew Holiday, Al Horford. Sam Hauser was a really late scratch due to personal reasons. Which was great because I streamed him in and then he was ruled out. So that was a waste. So we had a strange looking starting lineup. Tatum, of course, was pretty good apart from his efficiency. Luke Kornet started, only had 6 points, but he had 6 blocks. So if you added him, pretty happy with that. As we know, with Horford out, with Porzingis out, this center rotation is really hard to project. Cater played 15 minutes. Tillman played 11 minutes. Neither of them were overly productive. Peyton Pritchard had 25 points off the bench, continues to be very good of late. His injuries are helping, but he has, I'm pretty sure I saw something, he has shot to the top of the sixth man of the year. Projections, betting, whatever we want to call it, no surprise there. So he might be able to put a bit of distance between himself and whoever is second. There, but again, minutes were down here. They didn't roll with their starters for too long. Jaylen Brown returned. He was fine. Derek White also returned, so good that his ankle injury was nothing serious. On to the third game, the Brooklyn Nets and the Chicago Bulls, another blowout, which you don't get too often from the Bulls. Bulls win 128 to 102. Nets were without a ton of guys here. Let's run through the list. Torian Finney-Smith, who's been out for a little bit. Cam Johnson, who said he was going to play and then didn't play with the ankle injury. Who else was a new out? Ben Simmons, well, not a new out, he's always out. Cam Thomas, we know he's out, and Zaire Williams out as well. So we got some weird, weird rotations. Tyrese Martin played 33 minutes, had 15 points. As I said on the pregame show, this is a team that I'm almost avoiding when it comes to streaming because we just don't know from one night to the next who we're going to pick up. Jalen Wilson, who had been good last game, got in foul trouble. This game he had some foul issues but also just sucked. So there is no reason, I don't think, to be holding on to Tyrese Martin, Jalen Wilson, Keon Johnson, Shake Milton, Trenton Watford. All of these guys can have value, but as we've seen in the last week, they can go from hero to zero very quickly. Interestingly, Dayron Sharp did make his return, played 16 minutes off the bench, only 4 points, but he had a couple of rebounds, 2 assists, steal and a block. I said he does have a nice fantasy game, a little bit sort of Charles Bassey. So if he could somehow push into 22 minutes, I'd be monitoring him. If he's only going to play 15 to 16, probably deeper leagues only at this stage. But it's not like Nick Claxton has been setting the world on fire and he's had some injury things going on as well. So that's just a situation I would monitor there. For the Bulls, we had limited minutes again because of the blowout. LaVine, only 16 points with 4 assists, so not his best night, but he didn't have to do much. Vooch had 21 and 10, continues to play very well this season. Josh Giddey, best game of the season. I think we can comfortably say that. 20 points, 13 rebounds, 11 assists. Nothing like a game against Brooklyn to get your confidence up and your production up. So nice to see. Ayo Dosunmu had 16 and 6 with a steal and a block, 30 minutes. So again, we just keep rolling with him. Julian Phillips started. Didn't do a lot, so we don't need to pay much attention to him. Bouzelis, who I'd love to see getting more minutes, and maybe they do at some point, he had 20 points, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks. So, again, this is against Brooklyn, so, yeah, make of it what you will. And Talen Horton-Tucker, who people had been, well, some had been clamoring to get, he had 11 points with very little else in his 17 minutes. If he's not shooting 80%, he's just really has no value, as we saw here. Yes, he had a steal. I know he had a steal, but yeah. Let's just jump back here. We've got a question from Makita. Is Bogdan a must roster? I think so. He's not going to be the player I think people thought he might at the start of the season, just because Dyson Daniels has been so good. There were questions around who was going to start and what the minutes would look like. Bogdan is coming back off a pretty severe hamstring injury as well, so we need to remember that. He's only playing minutes in the mid-20s at the moment. But I think he's still must roster for now. But if in sort of a week to 2 weeks he's still only playing 24 minutes, he could fall off that list and become nothing more than a streamer. So I would hold for now, but it hasn't been great. Lakers and the Timberwolves, another blowout. As I said, Lakers were just garbage in this one, 109-80. We've seen a little bit of this from the Lakers in the last couple of weeks. They started the season quite well, I don't know. If Anthony Davis doesn't dominate, they don't win, basically. Davis was not great here, 12 and 11 with 5 assists and a block. So one of his poorer games this season. And when he does that, they just have nothing else. They have got a couple of injuries. Austin Reeves is out. He's really the only one that matters in terms of who's out. Hachimura, again, if he's not taking a lot of shots and hitting a lot of shots, there's not enough value there for him to be a hold. And Dalton Connect, I still think he's a must roster. 28 minutes here, only 6 points, but they absolutely need him on the floor and need him to be hitting shots. LeBron James had 10 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, so another very bad LeBron game. 4 of 16 from the field, and yes, he is, as Lone Dez says, 0 of 24, his last 24 three-pointers. So there's a stat for you. D'Angelo Russell started probably the one bright spot here for the Lakers. He had 20 points, but it came on 67% shooting, which is not going to happen all too often. He had 5 assists and a steal. He is a must roster at the moment because Gabe Vincent is not really giving them what they need. So they are, if Russell's playing well, they're going to give him some minutes and we just ride it while we can. I'm just having a look at the questions here. Any word on Christian Wood? Not that I've heard of. Almost forgot he played for the Lakers, didn't we? They could certainly use him back because behind Anthony Davis, they have nothing. So the last bit of information I can find was on the 12th of November. So what's that, 3 weeks ago, roughly? Said he would be reevaluated in 4 weeks. So we would expect that reevaluation to maybe come early next week. And then they've got some 2-game weeks because of the thing. So whether they try to ease him back in then because the workload is a little bit lighter. I think once he comes back, they will want him to play some sort of a role because Jackson Hayes is not the guy they need. They've got Koloko, but he's still working his way back. Vanderbilt still apparently plays for this team. So I think Woods will have a role, but we're probably still at least a week away, and that was reevaluation. So that certainly doesn't mean that he will be back. Lakers, let's go over to the Timberwolves. They too did not have to extend themselves too much. If you streamed in Jaden McDaniels, I apologize. 3 points with a steal and a block. for him. Rudy Gobert, no blocks here, but he did have 17 and 12 on 7 of 8 shooting. So we always appreciate that. Anthony Edwards, look, the fact that Wolves won this one so easily shows you, well, with Edwards only scoring 8 points on 3 of 13 shooting, shows you how bad the Lakers were, because Edwards was not good. Conley only needed to play 22 minutes. I still think he is must roster. They just gave the bench guys some run here. Dante DiVincenzo had 11 and 9. Nikhil Alexander-Walker had 15 points. We got 8 minutes of Josh Minot. Terrence Shannon Jr. played 6 minutes. So this was just a very, very, very ugly game. So I wouldn't go making any moves, anything significant based on this. And we had one more. Is Dante back or is this a case of Lakers defense? I think it's more the Lakers defense. Let's see what Dante looks like in that next game. I would still have Mike Conley over him pretty comfortably. Who do I like better between Assar and Herb for 9 cat leagues? It's probably Herb, I think. He does a little bit more offensively. I think Assar is a better rebounder, but Herb is defensively, they're fairly comparable, I think. But I think Herb is probably who we want to be targeting there, because he will get more points, he will get 3s. So Herb for me, fairly easy one. Who loses minute? I did see this. So Sohan is probable tomorrow, which is great. I need to go and check. Actually, I've got him in a couple of IR spots. So make sure that he, well, if I can put someone else in the IR spot, make sure he is active. Who loses minutes with him back? Well, we're still waiting on Vassell's role to increase. He's still coming off the bench, still playing sort of 25 minutes. So that is going to impact as well. But I think with Sohan back, I mean, if we go back to when Sohan was playing at the start of the year, he was starting, he was playing very well. Harrison Barnes was starting but not doing anything. I think Champagne will eventually move out of the starting lineup. And, I mean, Steph Castle would be the other one who would probably drop out. I think Chris Paul is safe, Barnes is safe, Wemby is safe in terms of their role. And then they would like to get Sohan and Vassell into that starting lineup. But would they ever make that shift and move Barnes to the bench? I don't think so, because he spreads the floor a little bit. Sohan is not the worst three-point shooter in the world, but he's certainly not the best. So, yeah, a little bit of an unknown here, given they haven't had this full healthy roster for any significant amount of time. So I think if Sohan comes back tomorrow, maybe we see a little bit less of Harrison Barnes. I would assume Sohan will come off the bench for his first game. But we do have to remember that this was just a thumb injury. It's not a lower leg, not an ankle, nothing like that. So the ramp up could be quite quick. As we saw with Isaiah Hartenstein, his minutes went from whatever he played in that first game. I think he even played 25 in that first game and he was up to starters minutes fairly quickly. So that could be the case with Sohan here as well. So by the end of the week, he could be playing 30, 32 minutes. So maybe, hopefully, we see a little bit of less of Harrison Barnes. Champagne could fall out of the starting lineup as well. And was there one more question? Oh, yeah, from Chad. And is Plumlee a must add with Nurk out a week? Look, he might be. Let me just have a look at... Oh, I don't know if it says it in this one. I might have to go to the other one. Hang on. No, it's not this one. I'm just going to have a look at who they play this week. All right, where are we? Phoenix. So Phoenix have 4 games this week. Starting tomorrow, they play the Spurs, the Pelicans, the Heat, and the Magic. So we're looking for Plumlee, who will match up against your more traditional centres. So they play the Spurs. They will need some height against Wemby, obviously. The Pelicans, maybe not as much. They have Misi, but depends how much they play in Miami against Bam, Orlando against Wendell Carter. Yeah, look, maybe. This is probably a week of serviceable numbers. We know exactly what we're going to get from Plumlee. He'll get you double-digit rebounds, maybe 6 to 8 points, fairly efficient, 3 assists, and then maybe 1.5 steals and blocks. So, yeah, I think if you're just looking for a little bit like a like what we were getting from Musa Diabate, but less defensive stats, more assists. So I think there might be some value here, and I'm actually going to go and have a look and see see if he's available in a couple of my leagues where I can just throw him on my bench. That will do for today's show. We will be back in the morning. I'm recording a show with Dan Bespris in the morning, but I will do a pre-game show potentially a little bit later, maybe about 8 a.m. my time. So there should be a pre-game show for tomorrow. And I did have a look at there's more games tomorrow. Where are we? Tuesday. There's 11 games tomorrow, so there will be a lot more to talk about. This morning's was fairly straightforward. But thank you, everyone, for listening. As I said, please go and find us and subscribe and download. We would really appreciate that. That will do. I'm going to go make a coffee. And I will be back tomorrow. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.